One out of 30 ain't bad.
What?
Nothing.
Thank you, Radar.
We'll call the board, the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order for April 21st, 2021 at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Byers, and Lidle. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held April 7th, 2021. Approve all claims through April 21st, 2021 in the amount of $581,525.61. Accept claim number 21040102 to Beatrice Lawn Care Inc. in the amount of $110 and claim number 21040188 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $28,557.83 to be voted on separately below. Thank you. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Register of Deeds fees report and District Court summary fee report for the month of March 2021. Receive and place on file the Pickerel Fire and Rescue 2020 annual report. Approve utility permit number 1187 to Lower Big Blue NRD. They will be boring a 2-inch diameter, 2-inch PVC water line 5 feet below the bottom of the road ditch for 66 feet for a water line crossing under County Road South 162nd on the north side of the 33-foot right-of-way East Pine Road, located in the southeast quarter of Section 22, southwest quarter of Section 23, Township 2 North, Range 8 East, Island Grove Township. Approved utility permit number 1188 to Lower Big Blue NRD. They will be boring a 2-inch diameter, 2-inch PVC water line 5 foot below the bottom of the road ditch for 66 feet for a water line crossing under Township Road South 36th Road and East Locust Lane, located in the northwest and southwest quarter of Section 20 and northeast and southeast quarter of Section 19, Township 3 North, Range 7 East, Rockford Township. Approve utility permit number 1189 to Norris Public Power District. They will be boring a 2-inch diameter 7.2 kV electric line encased in a 2-inch subduct 5 foot below the bottom of road ditch for 66 feet for an electric utility crossing under County Road South 54th Road, approximately 777 feet south of Highway 41, located in the northeast quarter of Section 29, northwest quarter of Section 28, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township. Approve utility permit number 1190 to Norris Public Power District. They will be boring a 2-inch diameter 7.2 kV electric line encased in 2-inch subduct 5 foot below the bottom of road ditch for 66 feet for an electric utility crossing under Township Road East Dogwood Road, approximately 3,190 feet east of South 25th Road, located in the southeast quarter of Section 30 and northeast quarter of Section 31, Township 5 North, Range 7 East, Hanover Township.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 21040102 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc. in the amount of $110 and claim number 2040188 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $28,557.83. This brings the total amount of claims approved through April 21st, 2021 to $610,193.44. These are two of my companies.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Not sure. Do we have somebody in the back who wanted to approve?
Eric, I'm sorry. Yeah, I would like to speak if I could.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see here. There's stuff for the Heritage Conservation Easement later on the agenda.
Okay. How long is that going to be, though?
We've got committee reports, and there's not much on here.
All right, I'll wait. Go ahead.
Okay. Building and ground winter lights.
Dave?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just brought up a few things. I do not have bids on them yet. Working on getting bids for sidewalk over at the Sheriff's Building evidence area. I did run a copy down to James Burrows to get his approval on it before we send out for bids. Sean Van Lanningham is working on a bid for filling in a void where we have a little lean-to shed on the north side. So he's I'm going to get a bid from him for putting block in, and I'm also talking to Greg Dennis from Masonry Constructors on he did locate some limestone facade that would fit in there. So they're actually working in Beatrice, so they're going to stop by here and take a look at it, get an estimate on if we did go with the limestone facade on that. Carpet bids. I did get one bid. I'm working on two more for out at the extension office to see what it would take to carpet offices, meeting room, and also the restrooms out there need some attention if we can make those into a handicap accessible restrooms. And lastly, I am going to give a tour to Leadership Development this afternoon. That's always a fun tour, and I talk for about an hour, so we'll on that. I'm not much of a talker, but I bring up a lot of history when I do the tour, and it is fun to bring that up. There's so much history with this building that when we work here all the time, we don't really think about how long this building has been here and how many changes it's seen and everything. So as example, the building we're in right now was actually the county courtroom. A lot of people don't know that when it was originally built. And where county courtroom is was actually called Equity Court. So just things like that are interesting and fun to talk about. So thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Good day.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items. Canota Malota. $11,481.95. Nebraska Auditor, Public Accounts, $16,720.63. Region 5 Systems, $14,441.75. Road Department, Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $24,166.47. Contact Engineered Solutions for Culverts, $14,912.37. Cornhusker International Trucks, Parts Labor, $14,791.55. Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, $28,000 for rock, $28,557.83. Midwest Sales and Service Bridge Planks, $21,852.48. Rock On Incorporated Hauling Township Material, $12,442.75. Sat Brothers Fuel, $23,310.90. City Beatrice, quarterly 911 service fees, $55,697.25.
We'll be talking about the EMS agreement later. Engage, I met with the city yesterday. We'll be probably getting something for a contract renewal in a couple weeks for Engage. State Auditor, Charlie Jansen's office, that's the highest bill we've ever got. They're usually in that 10 to 12 range for the state audit. This one was 16 and change. So Mr. Jansen is up in the costs. We'll be going privately again for the next 3 years probably at least, and potentially go back with a state audit after that. Human Resources, Employee Relations. Mr. Byers, anything for Human Resources? I guess you don't usually do that. I'm sorry. I was looking at you, and you're waiting. Waiting for something else. Nothing for human resources. Law enforcement, emergency management. Lisa, Sheriff. Morning, Lisa.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Just a quick note. We did, during committee meeting, kind of pretty well discussed, you know, between zoning and emergency management. But I did get a permit for another temporary asphalt plant that will be located in Paddock Township 17 in Section 21. And Galen, we just conversed a little bit. He's going to take a look at that. That's just off of 112 and Highway 8. It's a mile south. So,
Lisa.
Yes, sir.
The owner of that property, no, I don't need to see it. The owner of that property, when the last time they did a project down there, the plant was on the south side of that road.
Okay.
Now, they're going to move to the north side of the road on the same landowner's property. He called me and said he was in favor of it. I mean, that doesn't mean anything now, but to cross that bridge, he wanted to make sure the board knew that he was favor, because I think they want to move this process along. I don't know when they're going to start, but he was in full favor of having that plant on the north side.
Okay, perfect. We just got the permit yesterday, so we've just started review. Most likely, we won't make our meeting notifications and so forth in the month of May. So it'll probably be something for sure that we will have on the agenda for June then. So as far as other things, zoning, as we talked about at commission at the committee meeting on Monday, you were moving along with review of the wind regulations. And we've had several permits coming forward here the last week when weather's supposed to be getting a little nice. The challenges still are aggregate is still hard to come by. And then also building materials, the cost of building materials. I do have four permits, I believe, that are kind of on just on hold yet after that six-month period of time when we first do a review, seeing how they're doing just because of costs. So we expected that. Other than that, I really don't have anything else. So thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Sheriff.
A few things. Investigator Hansen has been promoted as of the 14th of this month to fill in the sergeant position for Sergeant Sharp. He got deployed over to, I think it was Africa, for pretty much going to be a year. So he'll fill that void until he gets back, and then he'll go back down doing his investigator duties and full-time and not worry about that.
So he'll be working nights taking Sharp's place?
It's whatever he's going to need. Yeah, be back and forth and whatever. Review a lot of reports on days. So,
But he will be on night shift then?
That I don't know. They'll be up till they get it worked out in the schedule, however it works out. If they need to fill in, they'll fill in. Purple Wave, contacted those folks. They'll be down to meet with me this week. We're going to try to get rid of the motorhome. We're trying to get back up to speed now since COVID. I got the title and the county's name, and so we'll put it on there, and we'll see what we get for it. It's going to be sold as is where it is, so, and just move that one out of there. So. And lastly, I'm looking at I reached out to the college here several months back. We finally got together. We're talking about if they can provide a food contract for us for the jail to see if it's possible. It'd be the first time they've done jail before. Now, they're a Great Western. I think out of Missouri, they do a lot of different type of venues, but it's not a jail. But we're thinking to see if they could. I don't know if it's going to be saving much money or not, but at least be maybe keeping some of the money here locally instead of going out of state. And they're having a problem out there because when school's not in session, he's got to lay a lot of his staff off. And then he can't get them hired back. He's got to start over again when fall hits, when school's back in session. So this way, it might allow them to keep their people full-time year-round. So we'll see where that goes. I'll keep you updated. But right now, we're just beginning stage of it. So
I was going to tell you, too, there was a claim that came through. Would have been the 12th. We didn't have it through finance yet. But we bought some meals for the State Patrol when they were down working in Wymore. We'll run that by finance committee, but in the past, any department, if they bought meals and stuff, the auditors said no to it. And I don't know if you can elaborate that on that at all. I mean,
I'd like to have that in writing if I could, so I'll have it, because that's
we can get a letter from Pam. I want an actual ruling from her on it, because they've told our other offices, no, you cannot. Well, like say any of the offices buy their staff food, they've said No, I mean.
Well, that I understand. This,
and this would be outside staff even, not working for the
and
county.
And this is not in the office 8 to 5 either. That's what they have to understand. They sat there for over 12 hours and have nothing to eat. So you got to have a little bit of humanity in you when these things come up. So if there's
a
ruling
on that.
Not to be
cold, but I'm sure the state doesn't not allow them to eat.
I just want to see a ruling on it.
Okay. I'll
if it's law, it's law. If it's not, I think the official should be able to dictate on that. But we'll wait for a ruling on it. We'll
go I'll ask for that from Pam specifically then.
If you would, please.
Oh, that'd be state auditor?
Yeah.
We'll ask.
They didn't allow us to pay for the fee.
And I just point out again, that was on that murder-suicide.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, it's really to our advantage to have the top investigative agency drop what they're doing and send their squad down here. And I know Sheriff Gus agrees with me. I may get some different.
I'll pay for that then down,
but
myself.
Well, I mean, we paid for it out of our pocket if we have to. But
I'll pay for that then.
I'm just saying it
Yeah,
as far as the auditor, we all know sometimes they need to come out of their ivory tower and see how the world works.
It's out of order.
It's not fair for us to treat one group different, though. I mean, if we tell all the offices you can't do that, we can't say it's okay.
They don't charge us when they send those folks down there. They compile all these reports for our office so we can review them and determine how to proceed. And if it costs a couple meals, maybe we can get the college.
Eric, our committee chair has something to say.
While I'm upset with one particular state patrolman at this point in time, I do believe that, Eric, I think at this point, if the state auditor wants to ding us on something like this, I think it's something that if the sheriff sees it in his budget, I think it's something that I don't think it's something that you have a problem with personally.
I don't personally. This is a different group than the state patrol that I can't stand to see in our county. This is an entirely different group, and I think they do a really good job. They do help us. I mean, they're completely different departments. I'm just saying we can't use feeling or put emotion into this if we don't allow anyone to do it. I mean, otherwise, as soon as we do one, what happens when the next office says, hey, we're going to do this? How do we say, well, it's okay here, but not here?
Well, let me just throw this out. You're taking them away from their workplace, putting them out in the middle of nowhere. They have to secure that. That place had to be secured from, I'm just going to say, approximately 9:30 until the last person walked off of the scene.
The homicide division, is that their only job, though? That's what they do?
Investigations. They'll do any investigation.
Investigations, so that is their office.
That's their duty, yeah.
I'm not trying to say they shouldn't get it or they should. I'm just saying very flatly, and I mean, unfortunately, that looks rough, but I'd be happy to pay for it personally. I just don't know that we do anything differently for one group than another. Otherwise, how do I tell the clerk they can't do it, or the treasurer, or the attorney's office, or anyone else? It's either, I mean, we've really run this as all or none. And unfortunately, that doesn't always.
Well, what surprises me is this has been done for decades, and now it's a problem already. I mean, I don't understand. Unless auditors trying to get a lot pickier on things, it's always been done this way. Not often, but it has been over the years. Why now is it an issue? I don't know. That's why I like to have a ruling on it in black and white so I can see it.
Attorney?
Yeah, I mean, my position would be we don't have too many of our offices that go outside of, like, the courthouse to have meetings in Gage County or to investigate something. Now, like the Patty, I don't know how she works it when her people are out there canvassing the county and they're down the south end of the county. Do they have to run back or do they turn in a meal, stopping in Wymore so they can get right back on the job? And again, I think a lot of that comes down to the department heads. I mean, we've been told that if I go to or I take any of my people and go to Lincoln for a conference that we pay $0 for, and we actually eat a noon luncheon, we're going to get taxed on that unless we stay overnight. Well, I guess I can get a damn motel, and we can all stay there so we can not be taxed on our meal that we have to eat up there. I mean, that's the kind of crap that we're seeing from the auditor's office. And again, I'll let it go at that. But they're making mountains out of molehills.
Mr. Juergens?
As Emily just brought up to me, I mean, I think this issue is a little different because it's not a full-time employee of the county government. They come in very rarely, and I think what Gus did was proper.
Well, and I don't want to see this get, like Roger said, blown proportion. It's that big a deal, I'll pay it for, because the supervisor purchased that for them and then turned the receipt in. So, I mean, it's I knew there would be some heartburn over it, but I thought I'd run through the claim process and see what happens. So, anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you, Sheriff. You guys have had your hands full lately.
Lately, yes, we have.
Road and Bridge.
Two of these items are coming up on our agenda. I'll forget that. Four utilities permit, as they've been read in already. Blade routes have changed from winter to summer as of 4/19. I've had numerous people come visit me about, a lot of townships now, because availability, are going to try to switch to rock on their certain roads and give that a shot, see how it works out. I think it, in the long run, will be good. With that being said, other things are coming up. Mr. Chairman, if you could, so Terry can get going. I know he's busy. Maybe bring that item up next.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? Terry does need to get moving. We've got a timed event at 9:15. We'll get started on this. We'll make a change here in the agenda to move the Nebraska Heritage Initiative discussion up now. We don't have much time, but we can talk, and then if we want to continue talking, we'll continue after the bid opening. But Terry, if you want to come up and give your name for the record. I asked Terry to come, and I see Mr. Behrens is here also. They went to see Mr. Kincaid give a presentation on this National Heritage area initiative. Don talked about this a little bit, and he had kind of let us know that someone that went to see Mr. Kincaid said this doesn't sound, kind of paraphrasing, this doesn't sound all bad. I knew that you had gone down there, so I thought I'd get your take on it and see, okay, see what you kind of gathered from the presentation.
Terry Acton, 31250 South 94th Road. Good morning.
Good morning.
Supervisors, thank you for inviting me, Mr. Chairman. Yes, what Eric was saying, Wes and I were able to go to this meeting in Hebron on the, it was the 8th. We got there just as they were starting. It was full. There was over 200 people there, so we were standing in the back. And there were a lot of questions that came from very concerned commissioners throughout all these counties. So Trent Luce was the moderator. He had a part of a program. It was difficult to hear. And then Norman Kincaid gave his version of how he had kind of fallen into being associated with canyons and plains, and that he was living in that area, retiring, and he had joined this group of local cultural, we'll call them cultural enthusiasts for right now. So he went through his entire process of how it was to him more of a scam. And then another speaker there was a lady named Angel Cushing. She lives in Lyons County, Kansas. And she described what they had experienced there. Her and her husband had retired in that community, and her husband was sitting in the coffee shop, and there was a notice in the paper that the county residents could no longer use barbed wire. So that kind of got a few people concerned, so they started digging into it as to what's the deal. And you can look it up on your, in Google, Lyons County, Kansas. They had three commissioners. They were in support of Freedom Frontier Heritage Association, which is their area's association. And the way she described it to me in her research, the the entry point was a group of cultural elitists had convinced a city commissioner to take a look at developing an area partnership, and they said, yeah, let's do it. And then it got into the point they said, okay, now you're going to have to redo your regulations in the city. And they says, okay, well, we have a planning and zoning or a commission type thing, kind of like we have Hannah Keelan. And the group said, oh, no, we got our own. So they brought in somebody from the West Coast, like Washington, Oregon, and rewrote the planning and zoning. And they says, and by the way, don't you want to include the county? The county went along with it. They voted 3-0 to go along with the resolution to support him. So what they actually did was they lit a local coordinating entity above what would be above all of you, write their planning and zoning regs for that entire area. And like I said, one of them was the No More Barbed Wire. And then they wanted rails or trails through all the water areas along the rivers. And they had all kinds of regulations. It sounded like it was a nightmare. Like, if you wanted to go shingle your house, you couldn't. Well, you could, but you had three choices of shingles. And they had, I know it just sounds like you can't make this stuff up, but this is what they're dealing with. So they are in reverse trying to get back out of this. The county paid $100,000. $125,000, and the city each paid $125,000 for this out-of-area come in and make their new regs for this area. So I've been relying on her I've talked to her probably three times now to see what's going on, and she is now traveling around talking to supervisors throughout this heritage area, letting them know how this happened and what to look for. And so... I'm sure if you all haven't caught up with this, you just got to start reading. Probably the best one that I found is Congressional Research Service. And the reason I like it is because this document was prepared by the Congressional Research Service, serves as nonpartisan shared staff to congressional committees and members of Congress. And in their findings, they have a ton of footnotes to back up everything they're saying. So if you don't mind, I might just read this quick. If nobody's up to speed on this, this is the best one I found to get you kind of a start on it. Since 1984, Congress has established 55 national heritage areas to commemorate, conserve, and promote important natural, scenic, historic, culture, and recreational areas. NHAs are partnerships among the National Park Service, states, and local communities, in which National Park Services support state, local conservation through federal recognition, seed money, and technical assistance. Unlike within the National Park Service, which are federally owned and managed, lands within heritage areas typically remain in state, local, or private ownership. Supporters of heritage areas assert NHAs protect lands and traditions and promote tourism and community revitalization. Opponents, however, contend that NHAs may be burdensome or costly to the federal government or may lead to federal control over non-federal lands. Congress designates a management entity. That management entity would be above you. It would be above you. These would be self-appointed boards that would be telling you what to do. And in telling you what to do, you guys are truly the gatekeeper of allowing this to happen or not happen. And I don't see how it could happen in Gage County, because first they'd have to get through planning and zoning, and we're pretty stickly about whatever gets through to us. And then the recommendations are passed to you guys, and it'd be up to you to be the gatekeeper, whether you're going to allow somebody above you to tell you what to do. So,
Terry, will you hold that thought for just one second? We have a timed event. I'll just close bids, and then can we close bids and let him continue and then review them afterwards?
Yeah.
I'd ask for a motion to close bids for the award of a motor grader for motor graders.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. And we will review those bids as soon as Mr. Acton's done. Okay, please continue.
And then I get to administration. The administration and management of an NHA usually involve partnerships among National Park Service, states, and local interests. Congress typically designates a management entity, something above you guys, sometimes referred to as local coordinating entities, LCEs. Designated LCEs could include state or local government agencies, nonprofit corporations, or independent commissions established enabling legislation. That'd be self-appointed cultural enthusiasts. This administration also serves, and I think this is key, serves as the legal vehicle for channeling federal funds to non-governmental management entities, meaning this level above you guys would be how they would get the money to manage their area. And then as far as opposition, property rights advocates often oppose the establishment of heritage areas. They contend that some national heritage areas lack significant local support. Those opponents promote routine notification of private property owners when their lands fall within proposed heritage areas, on the grounds that a National Park Service could exert a degree of federal control over non-federal lands by influencing zoning and land use planning, which is in planning and zoning and is you guys as well. So the takeaway from that night of watching this, and the big question was, how is 3030 going to be implemented? I think they have the Department of Interior, Department of Agriculture are supposed to come out with something by the end of this month. I believe that they had 90 days to come up with a plan as to how they're going to implement 30 by 30, and that'll be real interesting to see how that comes out. But the big takeaway, I think, is as long as people are aware of what's going on and don't just rubber stamp everything, I think it would be all right. But you just have to be diligent. And I've just started to research, and there's way more to read. But, you know, I think this one here is a good one for you to start with and go from there. So,
if we had any recommendations from either Farm Bureau or Farmers Union on this?
I do not know that. I'm sorry, I can't answer that, Dennis.
I would think they would be part of this.
I agree. I think they probably got a statement out. I don't know what it is. I've been doing my own research, Dennis. So,
have you heard anything of an opt-out where landowners would be able to opt out of this and not participate?
I have not. No.
What about the counties? Can counties opt out and other counties participate?
I don't think you can, because once that area is designated, it's a done deal. That's a good question, Eric. All of these heritage areas have an area designated within there, and they did that because, well, I think this one was is what they call the Willa Cather. Several years ago, Willa Cather heirs donated $8 to $9 million to the University of Nebraska. This is information you can't find on the internet. This is information you got to do by just talking, communicating, networking with people. It was told to me that University got $8-9 million. University turned around and came out with a pretty glowing report as to how good MHAs are, and that it will help your tourism and economic development. And one of the that reminds me, one of the key things that these people that have uncovered these scams is that check where your money's going for economic development. They said that they found one instances where the commissioners on a county were sending the money to their economic development, but didn't really pay attention to what they were doing with it, and they were working to establish this heritage area with the monies that they sent them. So, I think everybody's new to this. I know I am. I got a lot more reading to do, but you have to start somewhere educating yourself. And whether there's a connection with 3030 in this, I don't know, but I think there is a connection where if you are in a heritage area, there is going to be, an overreach of whatever they want to do that would affect us. So I think you just need to keep researching and do your homework. So,
Terry?
Yes.
It's interesting to me. You said that meeting was at Hebron.
Yes.
The information that I had was the Hebron commissioners over there soundly defeated or were opposed against this. Not defeated anything, but it was just a resolution that they had posted here. Uh-huh. 2, 3, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, so they were right on it, I guess. So there was a lot of very concerned commissioners that night as to, is this how 3030 is going to be implemented? Nobody really has any answers, but maybe we'll get some answers by the end of this month. So
we do have the resolution imposing the National Heritage Area that I believe Mr. Burns left it. I believe it was from that Nathan Kincaid. They had drafted kind of a blanket opposition resolution. We had that Monday, but that was one of the reasons we were going to talk about this. We all kind of decided there wasn't enough information here yet. And do you have a recommendation, I guess, Terry? Is that something we hold off on and watch? Do you want that to go to planning and zoning so you get more information? I mean, what's your personal feeling on this?
I think that'd be a good place to start. We're the research arm for you guys. I don't think any of us mind digging in and looking into it.
We're happy to let you guys research and take the credit for it.
Okay.
Gary?
I think planning and zoning, if Terry, if you're a member, so I mean, if you feel like that's a good place to have that discussion, by all means, have that discussion. Okay. I mean, it would be my opinion anyway. I don't know that we need to direct them to. I just have that conversation and then maybe share with us what you guys think. What about, I guess my question is this something that I would assume Mark Engler knows about this, and where's Mark at on this?
That's a good question. I don't know. You're exactly right. I read where informing this area, Homestead National Monument was part of it.
Well,
I
see they're pointing the finger at him anyway. But is Mark involved in that, or?
I don't know. I guess I'll ask him.
Yeah, just
I'd like
just,
to know.
Yeah, curiosity.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, I want to know.
Mr. Schuler, you had an email you sent out to all of us. Did you talk to Mark, or was that?
Yes.
Can you give us any update on that?
There's absolutely no connection with 3030, and he doesn't know how this has any. It's private organizations and individuals that organize this Nebraska Heritage. It's not connected to federal agencies, not connected to any. So he don't see how there's any teeth in anything that they can do. So he gives me the impression that this is, and this is my personal take on it, that it's being blown out of proportion. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. But that's the impression I got from him, that there's
So somebody was name-dropping the homestead as opposed to Mark being involved.
Yeah, he's not involved. He's not involved at all. It's just that he's acquainted with it because he's acquainted with the Freedom Frontier. He knows about it.
Yeah.
He knows what's happened there. I mean, so it's just his personal opinion, the way I took it. And with his experience in the national park, it's a personal opinion. But I'd suggest you talk to him, Terry.
Yeah,
And Eric, I think Emily had something to offer.
Yeah.
I was just going to make the comment, I think the best stewards of our land, our land, are our farmers and ranchers. And the idea that somebody can oversee that, even, I'd like to know a little bit more about that. I don't think that somebody needs to be, I really think that the farmers and ranchers do a great job the way they do things now, and they're always looking to make things better. So I don't.
I agree with that as well, Emily, that the land is under good stewardship the way it is now. I think some of these heritage areas, well, probably a lot of them are very good for their communities and their economic development. I think there are a couple of cases that have been uncovered where a few bad apples hijacked the whole thing.
But the thing that scares me, I guess, just listening to this, and we'll have more information as you learn more, but anytime you have the federal government or any government telling people what they can or can't do on their own private land, it makes me nervous. I guess it throws a red flag up immediately.
This is not the federal government telling us what we can do on our private land. Kansas-Nebraska Heritage has nothing to do with the federal government. They receive funds from the federal government, but they're not tied to the federal government.
So they're not tied to the government at all?
No, not at all. State, federal, local, nothing.
It doesn't necessarily matter if it's federal, local, or if it's a private entity. If they're going to be above and telling us how to do our zoning.
Well, that's the question. We don't really know if they are above us.
I'll give you a little backstory too, Don. We've been very, very cautious on conservation easements even. Mm-hmm. The university holds several conservation easements in our area. The last one was a piece of, not CRP, but
the university land that came up for sale has a conservation easement.
Right.
And, yeah, so go ahead.
I was just going to say those conservation easements don't go away, so.
Perpetuity.
There's.
And that's one, I'm sorry, Eric, but that's one of the things that you, federal government is fun. It's, they're not associated, but through this agreement, they're funneling money in. This money then goes to do conservation easements, like Nebraska Trust, Kansas Land Trust, Sierra Club. I can't name them all. People tell me all these names, and I can't remember it all. I'm not that proficient in it yet. But in my understanding, then they go put a conservation. You can go put a conservation easement on a piece of property, and like Eric's saying, it is in perpetuity. That ground will never do any type of project other than what it was titled to do, which the university one was just for grazing. No homes, no wind turbines, no CAFOs, no plow, no farming, nothing.
Which with the right management, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just right. You have to very carefully manage that.
And so do you want a flood of that coming in at you? And they tell me they like to start around federal properties, and they'll just start working their way around that, do with these easements. And
but isn't it up to the private landowner to decide whether he's got to apply for that easement?
If he...
I mean, I'm just asking, is it? And they can't come in and put an easement on your property without your permission, can they?
The way they tell me is that...
Well, it depends if they come they're coming about it back at it through regulatory. And that's, I think, what Terry's concerned about is if we give authority and just watch out, giving any authority above us that would be dictating what we would be doing. One of the things I'd suggest, and you cited the congressional record, but also, contact our representatives in Congress, assuming, well, I'll just leave that alone. I'm sure they've heard about this stuff, and I would hope they're looking out for the local interest. But to get some, is this one of these, oh, watch out, there's a bad example over here in Washington, so we all got to, be alarmist, or is it you truly have to watch out what's happening here? So, Mark's a good person. He stays up on top of that stuff. I'm sure Engage is, looking at these kind of things, too, because it affects them. I'm just suggesting let's get some more research on it. And you've done a good job bringing it, but there's a lot of stuff out there, I'm sure.
I'm just getting started. It takes a lot of reading to get yourself so you can start to get your head. And I'll go back
on. If we refer this back to planning and zoning.
I'll just add one more thing. Sorry, Dennis. Freedom Frontier, in digging through how this got to where it was anti-barbed wire, they finally have kind of figured out, and with everything anymore, it seems like there's a false narrative as to what, or a narrative that you don't see. And they're pretty well convinced now that that group of people, that your local coordinating entity above them, one of their main missions was to stop animal agriculture. And that, you know, it just, that was a way for them to get themselves in a position, self-appointed, to get above everybody and drive out animal agriculture. So,
way easier than cutting fence.
Well, yeah. I don't like making fence, and I'm sure the sheriff is probably tired of having his deputies come out and help me put my cows in.
But this isn't.
I got a good night's sleep last night for once. Thank God. Eddie even stopped one day and helped me, told me I had fence down. But
did he fix it or just go by and tell you?
Well, he was a good citizen and told me I had cows that were getting out. So. It's just like an onion, and you just peel back a little at a time, and you just, it's amazing what you can find out if you just keep researching something. So I'll go back, or you tell me how you want to do it. I'll take it back to him and say, hey, the commission or commissioners asked us to research this more.
Do you think that's the best step personally? I mean, you
tell me,
senior
I don't know.
There.
You tell me, Chairman.
The more information we can get, the better. We don't have to act on anything right now. There's, it's not written yet from the way it sounds, or not completed, but we don't want to be behind the eight ball on this either. We want to be proactive on it. We have about a month until this is written. Is that correct? Or we think it'll be written?
I don't know. I don't know that, Eric. I'd have to look into that too.
If you can continue to research it through P&Z, if you can, I'll talk to Thayer County commissioners, see what they have to say about it, because if they voted, I'm sure they did some additional research also.
That would be helpful.
If you see that,
share that with us, that'd be great.
Any action that you would see that we would need to take, please let us know, Counselor.
I would just suggest that the board as a whole ask the Planning and Zoning Commission to look into this, as opposed to having one member take it back to them.
Do you want us to motion that?
I would suggest that, just that way it doesn't, you know, every time a member on the board, and I appreciate what Terry bringing this to.
It ain't just Terry Acton bringing something to the board.
Yeah, because, there's nine people on that commission. and again, that's something that comes with a little more direction from the board.
I'd ask for a motion for that then, Mr. Lytle.
I'll make a motion to have P&Z look into the Nebraska Heritage Area Initiative and anything else that encompasses that issue.
Second.
Of a motion by Lytle, second by Byers, to get to the bottom of National Heritage Area work. Please vote. Oh, I'm sorry, Emily?
Just a quick question. You had brought up that you had a packet.
Yes, I'll get that to you. Nathan Kincaid mailed out a packet to me.
Okay,
I'll get that to you also. It's a book as well as a pamphlet and some other information. I started going through that. It has not left my counter. I'm still not through it, though, but it looks like a actual book he put together.
Yeah, I think, he did.
So I'll get that over to you all, to you personally for review.
I might add, this Angel Cushing is traveling around the counties speaking. You might. I have her contact number if you'd like that. She's in the Emporia or Lyons County Commission County that really got out of bounds. So
my other question or something to look at would be how they get a county involved. Like, what's their, is it something that we agree to, or is it how they get it in the county is my question.
I don't understand. Are you asking how did it happen in there?
No, like how they would bring it here. Does that make sense? Well, yeah, I guess it would be how it happened there, but how they would bring it here as well.
Angel has good experience in that. I'm just a conduit for you.
Okay.
That's why I've tried to talk to her so many times so I get this coherent. To answer your question, Emily, the best I can understand from her was that they started with the city of Emporia, city commissioners with this group, and then that group suggested, hey, don't you want to involve the county? And for whatever reason, the county just kind of rubber stamped the thing, and here they are. They didn't even realize what they had done. And so she says, you know, they usually come in with, a local entity will usually come in, try to make friends with somebody, say, hey, you know, we could get you some grant money to do this. We could, you know, do this. They kind of make friends with somebody on the inside. And that's where she says, then it's more hard to say, like, say it was Eric's idea. Well, nobody wants to say no to Eric. But it's
that'd be nice.
Yeah, so it's a lot easier to tell the guy, you know, that's approaching you to say no. So I'm just conveying what I've gathered so far. So it's just like, you know, beware, look out for this kind of thing. So I don't know if that helps you a bit.
Any other discussion on this? We've got a motion and a second. I'd ask you to vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Terry, will you please take this back to the PNZ?
I certainly can.
We'll follow this up with a letter.
Okay. I'll get you Angel's number. I can text it or I'll write it down and give it to you before I leave today.
And thank you for your work on PNZ, too. I know you guys have had some late meetings. We had a update from Monty Merkel the other day, which was great. I mean,
good.
I know Emily's been coming to a lot of your meetings, and a few of us have visited, but it's great to get an update, too. We do appreciate what you do.
Thank you. We appreciate your work, too.
Thanks, Terry.
All right.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks.
We will hop back on the agenda. Before we open these bids, we have a really brief introduction here. Chevis Kroll, do you want to come up and introduce yourself and let us know what you're doing?
Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to jump in here real quick. My name is Chevis Kroll. I am the Victim Assistance Coordinator with Gage County, the Crime Victims Program there. Prior to accepting this position, I worked the past 7 years in the Quad Cities. Over in Illinois and Iowa, doing victim advocacy work there, primarily in domestic violence, rape, sexual assault, human sex trafficking, as well as child welfare, juvenile justice, diversity and equity work, child abuse prevention, and providing mental health first aid trainings across the state of Iowa and Nebraska. I'm also a national trainer, so I can still provide that here in this community. I'm very excited to be a part of the Beatrice Police Department and the Gage County Victim Assistance Program. I look forward to serving those in the community that I grew up in. It is a great privilege and honor to do so. And thank you again for the opportunity to introduce myself today.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, Dennis.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, there
so
are.
I've been told.
Really important program, though. We appreciate it.
Yes, it is. Getting more and more important.
Sorry we made you wait so long.
Nope, that's all right. Not a problem.
All right, Mr. Juergens, do you want to go to opening motor grader bids?
That'd be a good idea.
Sorry to make you wait so long, too. Chomping at the bit over there.
Not worried about me. I'm worried about these guys.
There we go. I found it.
Mr. Chairman,
yep.
Before we start, I should bring up something that happened a couple days ago. We were looking at trade-in on two patrols, used ones that we had. One's located in Claytonia, one's located, I think, here in Beatrice. But irregardless, Galen called me yesterday
and informed me that the John Deere Patrol in Claytonia transmission problems. These bids are set up to trade that machine in. We don't know how serious, but we think it's fairly serious on that patrol. So with that being said, I'll read these numbers. But it won't be totally accurate because the trade-in value will probably be nil right now on that John Deere, I would assume. So everybody knows that I don't know if I want to say it's off the table, that trade-in, but I don't know. We'll have to make a decision on that. That's not my call. So whatever we decide to do with that patrol, I don't think fixing it's probably a positive idea because of the expense, but we'll decide that later. So everybody knows that when I'm reading these bids, that John Deere patrol up in Claytonia has problems. So I'm sure these are going to change probably the trade-in value or whatever on those.
Mine's adjusted already.
Yours is adjusted.
Yeah.
And yours is Caterpillar.
No.
No. John Deere?
John Deere.
Okay, all right. This bid I have is from NMC for a Caterpillar patrol. Emily, read through this with me here. I think I'll give you the I think I'm correct when I give you this figure. It's a price for two. list is $540,600, less trade-in value for the 2009 and 2007 patrols of $78,750 for a total cost to Gage County for two graders, $461,850. No, it's coming down here. Okay.
That's from NMC.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. The extended warranty is $69,200. For a total, if you do the warranty, $609,800. Buy two graders, get an additional 3% off total package. Bid package price $591,506. So as of now, that's the cost from NMC. And we will have Galen Becker review these because I might be missing something here.
And we'll also, after this, we'll get each of the bidders up just to see what they included, what they didn't include. If just real briefly, if there was adjustment, like John Deere had an adjustment for the transmission. That way, if you guys have anything you want to tell us, just to get it all on the table at the same time.
This is from Murphy Tractor and Equipment Company, located in Lincoln, Nebraska, from John Deere. Security bond, propaganda.
Does it say propaganda on there?
No, I said that. Okay, base price, list price as I named it in the past, $592,136. Less trade-in for the two.
What was the number again?
$592,136.
That's for the two.
That's for two. the trade-in value for the 2009 Cat and 2007 John Deere, $69,000. Cost for two graders, $523,136 with the trade value included.
$536,136.
Multi-unit, if both machines purchased are Deere, subtract $5,000. I don't. I'm probably wrong, but I'll just soon have the salesman go through it. I don't see anything about additional warranty on this one.
It's included.
Where?
Included.
Oh, extended warranty is included in that price.
I'm sorry?
Extended warranty is included in that price.
In the $523,136?
Yes.
I'm going to make a note of that, though.
Okay.
And if I'm misspoke here any place, just go ahead and... But you can come back and correct me later on. This bid is from A1 Iron Corporation out of La Vista, Nebraska. This is a Sani unit. Okay. Cost to Gage County for two motor graders, extended warranty. Well, let me go back. Trade-in value for the two motor graders we discussed, $47,500. List price on the two patrols, $379,000. $976, less trade brings it to, excuse me, extended warranty, $49,990, adding the extended warranty, less the trade, I believe I come up with a final figure of $382,466. These are all wrote a little differently, so I would certainly, Mr. Chairman, like to have the salesman come up to make sure what I said is correct.
All right. Let's start with Cat, since those are all the bids.
Yes.
They're all of
yep.
Three. Okay, well, three bids.
Start with Travis here, just since that was the way we did it in order.
Fine. I'm Travis, NMC Cat.
I'll ask you first, Travis, are these prices good without a trade in case we end up not trading that? Just since all you guys have your prices laid on the table, try to be fair, so we may end up not trading one of those.
The Deere trading value we valued.
Could you identify yourself, please?
I'm Travis with Nebraska Machinery, NMC. Okay, so the trade on the Deere. The Cat trade, that value is going to remain the same. The trade on the Deere was inspected prior to putting the bids together. I think we did that a couple weeks ago. At that time, when we inspect it as it was in working condition. So that trade number would need to change unless you got it to that working condition upon trade-in.
But your other dollar amounts, if we just subtract that trade out?
Yes.
Because so, that's what we'll probably end up doing is not trading that machine.
So where I'm at right now, it's $540,600. The extended warranty was $69,200. So the trade combined was $78,750, but minus that $30,000 on the deer brings it to $48,750. So I guess you'd have to subtract that. So the total after was $461,850, so that total would be $431,850 if you subtract that $30,000.
Right.
And, yeah, that's going to change some numbers a little bit, but the numbers I had was the $540,600 plus the warranty, $69,200, brought it to $609,800.
Less the percentage discount.
So if you buy two graders, you get an additional 3% total package, which that amount was $18,294.
And Galen will work all these numbers. We don't have to go through these now. The biggest thing would be if we just subtract that one that trade warranty out, everything else will be okay to continue through.
Just so I'm not, if you take $30,000 off for the John Deere trade, wouldn't that make, instead of 461, wouldn't it make it 491 our cost as opposed to 431? You'd be adding 30,000 cost, well, not subtracting.
You're right. Yes, you're right. So you're adding 30,000.
I liked his numbers better, but
you're adding 30,000.
Travis, as far as the extended warranty, what does that include? What is
that's bumper to bumper, 84 months, 7,000 hours per bid specs.
84 months, 7,000 hours.
Yep.
Okay.
On that same, my question was: is that a second party covering that extended warranty,
no,
or is
that's
that
all
through CAT? It's through CAT.
Yep, it's all CAT. Your numbers were a little bit off. It was, again, this is prior as with that $30,000 figure, but you gave the number of $591,506. You never subtracted the trade to $78,750.
Okay.
So your total number was $512,756. So that would be, you know.
Adjusted by approximately 30.
And so just tell me this. If we take the John Deere off the table, what's your end cost?
Well,
don't we figure that? Just so he doesn't have to
say,
do the math
the,
out
okay.
there.
Okay. The 3% total package, that you'll get a little bit more because the price is going to go up $30,000. So you're going to get more than $18,294. It's 3% okay. of total package. So, you'll just have to figure out those numbers.
We'll figure that. I just wanted to make sure if you pushed some money into a trade, if that's, we don't want to be unfair to you where you say, hey, I needed that trade to make this deal work, because we'll probably end up selling that blade off on its own, I would think.
Yeah. A couple other things that come with this. $6,900 in parts credit goes into your account. So if you buy two, it's $13,800. So $13,800 would go onto your account, which can be used for any parts, service, anything at CAT, doesn't matter what machine, never expires.
That's on these particular machines?
Yes.
But we shouldn't have to use that, though. So it'll just
You have a fleet of, you have some in CAT, so there's always blades, there's filters.
Okay, so it's not just on these two units
you can use. No, you can use it for anything.
All right.
Also included is, I think you guys do CVAs. The CVA is the filter kits. You guys get those? The filter kits, they used to be called CSA agreements, CVAs now. Every time a service is due, you get a box of filter kits for each individual service.
Well, I know we take samples and send them in. I don't know whether it's to CAT or who.
Yeah.
Well, if it's under warranty, it'd be to CAT.
Yeah, so included in this, in each one of these are CVA kits. So CVA kit. It's good for 9 years or 4,500 hours, whatever comes first. So what a CVA kit is, every service for 9 years or 4,500 hours, wherever comes first, either we drop them off or they're mailed to you. It's a box of every filter you need for that particular service. So that's included in the bid. It's filters. Yep.
It's actually the filters.
It's all the filters needed.
Well, filters are
filter kits.
Filter kits. All the filters you need for each individual service. Filters only. No fluids. No oil. No hydraulic oil. But just the filters.
Any questions for Travis? Thank you, sir. We appreciate the
bet. You betcha.
Murphy, could you give us your name for the record as well?
I'm Taylor Wenzel with Murphy Tractor in Lincoln. And
I'll ask first, Taylor, is your bid, does everything else stay the same if we would pull that one trade out?
Yes. Yeah, and if you leave it, it is still stands the same because I adjusted for that.
Oh, that's right. You said that. I'm sorry.
So
I believe, Eric, their company is the one that was called out to look at this
we
patrol.
Worked on
so
it,
they
so
had
I
a
had
little bit
out.
Advanced knowledge of what was going on, but Galen did inform the other two bidders yesterday afternoon when we did discover this. So okay. Just so everybody knows.
So if we pull it, I don't know if you understood the question 100%. If we pull that out
yes,
and don't include
opinion.
It, your bid's not changed. Whether just we
add that trade-in
don't...
value back into the total cost,
right.
And we would be fine.
So what was the trade-in value for the John Deere?
For the John Deere on your guys' was the way it was right now, I gave you $29,000. Okay. So, yep. So if you add that $29,000 back on top, then you'd be... So we'd be square. My warranty package, that is the per the bid specs, the 84-month, 7,000-hour with travel time and mileage included, so we'll come out in the field and do it. You guys won't owe anything. It also comes with a 5-year, 10,000-hour DPF warranty, so if anything goes wrong with the emissions and the DPF stuff on it, we will replace the DPF filter at no charge to you, except for half of the labor cost.
How many hours is that for?
10,000 or
how
five
many
years.
Is the total regular warranty for?
For
the 84 months is on top of the.
Yeah, that's 7,000, and that is a bumper-to-bumper warranty on the 84 months, 7,000 hour.
So this gives us an additional 3,000 out. Or what's your regular warranty?
Our standard is a 1-year bumper-to-bumper comprehensive warranty.
The John Deere, then, the warranties are very similar. The extended warranties are very similar, I believe, correct?
As far as
that extended warranty, that 84 month and 7,000 hours, is that correct?
That particular warranty is the same exact as the 1-year full machine warranty. Yep, it's the same warranty. I did also throw in an alternate bid in there. Those are two in stock machines that we have. I can have them here really quick. I put within 15 days or sooner. The price for that he read off was for ordering new machines, and that was a 120-day or sooner lead time.
I apologize. I saw that in there, but didn't read it.
Yeah.
I saw that extra.
Yeah, so that was just – and there is a difference in those machines as far as – are the one that I quoted to order. It has a premium circle on it, which is a sealed bearing drive on the circle versus just the standard circle of the ones that we have in stock.
The ones in stock then? I mean, I didn't read those. I didn't.
They are
those.
A little bit cheaper because of
cheaper?
The standard circle.
Would
option.
You go ahead and read those to us then?
Yes. So the standard circle option, you're looking at a total of $569,136, and I have a $69,000 total trade-in value, and that brings you down to $500,136. And if you buy both Deeres, you can subtract $5,000 off of that price. It'd be a $495,136. If they're both Deere.
And then we'd add in that $29,000 for the...
And then add on top of that, you can add the $29,000 if you sell off your trade. Yeah.
Dumb question, but are both the machines have DEF on them? Is that the way they are now?
Yep, all of them. All everything right. We make is going to have it.
All right.
So.
Any questions for Taylor? Any other pertinent information for us?
Nope. I think that's about all I got for you.
All right. Thank you for your bid.
Yep. Thank you.
We have the A1 rep. And please give your name for the record.
My name's Tim Hubschman, A1 Iron Corp. out of La Vista, Nebraska.
Is your bid good if we take the one trade off? Do any of the other numbers change?
I did get the adjustment, the phone call, so I adjusted the number on the bid originally. So if you just omit that, you will omit that number.
Okay.
Everything's the same.
Do you have anything pertinent for us? Same, similar warranty, things like that?
We bid the warranty per spec. Our factory warranty is a 3-year, 3,000-hour full machine. The remaining warranty will be a secondary warranty that is purchased inside the bid spec, states our factory warranty, and then the additional warranty as well. There's two separate copies of that.
Warranty work would be performed by
In the A1. Field by A1 Field Service. No charges for any coming to the anywhere, and there's no charges. It's all included.
Well, where's the factory located at for these machines?
Which factory?
For these patrols.
Well, we have factories in China. We have factories in Peachtree City, Georgia, where we're currently building machines, not the motor grader yet, but that's coming. Okay. I actually did bring a factory rep, OEM rep from SANI. This is Josh. He's with me to answer any OEM questions, if there's any. Our engines are Cummins powered.
What transmissions do you use?
SANI. Yes, and that's where if you have any questions on transmission or anything like that, like I said, I did bring a factory rep because I thought it was pertinent for that.
Did you said they were Cummins powered?
Cummins engines.
Mm-hmm. Specs are very similar to what
Very similar. Mm-hmm. You'll see we had a couple exceptions on tires and very minimal stuff. I think you spec'd a 1,424 and we're a 17.5 R25 radial. Same thing that's on your 140. Yeah. 3-year, 3,000 full machine warranty, and that is here as well. We do have the machines on the ground here in the U.S. ready for delivery.
Did I talk to you or Josh?
Hi, John.
John?
This is Josh.
Josh? Okay. They were actually going to have a demo for Richardson County coming up in a couple weeks as well. Any questions for Tim or the OEM rep? What was your total, including trade? Do you have that in front of you by chance?
Let's see here. We had 47.5 in the pair. I threw 10,000 at the trade because that transmission, I had a number of 30 figured in my head, and I figured we're 20 grand to fix it. So I put 10 in that. 37.5 is what I valued that 140 at. So if we omitted that 10,000, we would bump that number on that trade by 10,000 to omit that trade. And we could deliver. I mean, they're on the ground. I mean, we could have them very quickly.
I do have one question for you. Yesterday, yes, when you, or the day before, whatever day it was, you stopped in, mm-hmm. and we were talking about the top of cab height, and you were going to check on that.
10.6. 10.6. Yeah, we checked on that.
Okay.
Because there's a.
We put a tape on it. This was not a spec. I had somebody go out and put a tape measure on it straight up, so you knew.
Okay.
That was one of your concerns.
Yeah, okay.
On the cab height.
To the top of the cab, not to the top of the beacon.
Yes.
Beacon can be worked with. So.
Yep, understand. Yep. Okay.
And these vehicles are made in China?
These two would be yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's kind of relative, okay? So right now we're...
Josh, could you come up to the mic just so we have record
Absolutely.
Of everything?
Joshua Smith with SANI America. So just here to answer any questions. Anything. So SANI's goal is to have full production for in the U.S. by 2023. That was a pre-COVID
expectation understands. It's probably going to be closer to 2024. The only reason why we're not making these motor graders in the U.S. right now is because we don't have a fabrication facility built. If we could weld these things together, they'd be being built here right now. We buy the engines in the U.S. The Sandy motor grader is the only thing transmission-wise that we actually built over there. The transmission is specifically built for that Cummins motor, for that horsepower, for everything that it does. It is assembled over there and shipped. That's one of the few things that we ship whole. When we get a fabrication facility, they will be built in the U.S., and we are working towards made in the USA. So,
we've got a site for you.
Yeah.
That's our economic development director. For the record, Trevor just said we do have a location that those could be built right here.
And it is
centrally located. Final drives, I assume those are shipped over as well, or are those made here?
Everything post-transmission is built over there on the motor grader itself. The excavators are different. They're purchased through a third-party vendor. Right now, we're trying to purchase everything through a third-party vendor in the U.S. because we want to move production here. That's how Sandy does stuff. Yes, we are in China. Yes, we are over there. We're a corporation in China. We are not owned by the state. We're publicly traded on the Shanghai Stock Exchange. Just so happens the five guys that made this corporation grew up in China. It'd be no different than somebody who did it right here in the U.S. So they moved all the production for India. They moved all the production for Europe over to Europe. That's already done. We're the next phase. So, but right now, yes, they're built in China. The Cummins motor is spec, complete U.S. spec, and everything on that machine is U.S. spec.
I actually would encourage you to talk to Mr.
Absolutely.
Lee after the meeting. That'd be a good conversation. I guess I'm not familiar with the Sandy motor graders. I started seeing Sani, I think, in pumps and cranes maybe 10 years ago at Con Expo and stuff like that. But, Mr.
Finish.
Oh, I was going to say, the specs I have read on those, they remind me more of like the 140H type styling, I guess, hydraulic controls, but not all the fly-by-wire more. Is that correct?
The motor grader is mostly E over H, electric over hydraulic, which is what everybody has to go to the joystick controls.
And you are joystick control?
Yes, absolutely, with the steering wheel. So you have both options for roading the machine down the road. The motor grader had to go that way to get the joystick. That's just a necessary evil of the thing. You're correct on the excavators and stuff. All pilot controls, hydraulic over hydraulic. We believe in trying to build a powerful yet simple machine to work on. We want our dealers to be able to easily work on this machine. That's one of our big goals.
Mr. Jurgens?
Are there any machines like that close that are being used?
The closest I have right now is Arkansas. Searcy County is, and I will be happy to share the contact. Judge Jim is one of our greatest proponents. He was using another manufacturer before. He didn't like the performance. He didn't like the price tag. He switched. He has now switched almost his whole fleet, if not his whole fleet. You'll have to excuse me. That's not actually my territory. It's one state out. But he loves the machine. He's switching all of his motor graders over to it, and they're going to a rotation plan. They did leases before, and they've switched over.
One other comment, because it's come up in the past. Mm-hmm. Trade-in value.
Mm-hmm.
This machine's 5 years old. We look at getting another one. Where does that trade in value, in your estimation, compare with a John Deere or a Cat?
I haven't researched John Deere or Cat, so I can't speak to that.
That's fine.
We're holding a 30-40% residual. And our strategy, there's a lot of things behind that, right? Bankers aren't going to give you a residual. Trade-ins aren't going to give you a residual until there's a lot of auction results. You can look at the auctions. There's not been many of these things sold. What's the reason behind that? I don't know. I can tell you, I mainly work on the excavator side. I can tell you why that's because I can't get people to trade them in. They don't want to get rid of them. That's the experience that I've run across. So, yes, our trade-in values are going to be lower, but I like for you to keep your money up front instead of getting it 5 years from now.
Terry, I did see a couple Sandy motor graders go on an online auction, and They both went in the mid-30s. I just happened to be watching motor graders, not looking for Sandy in particular, but that seems to be something I read a lot of.
Well, until we get a name, let's be real. They're not going to be high. It's that simple. And that's one thing you're never going to find from me. I'm going to be here for you guys. I'm the factory rep. I work hand-in-hand with all my dealers. I go to customers. I go see guys. I went to Richardson County, which just purchased an excavator from us about 3 weeks ago and did a full operator training with those guys. We're talking me personally. Went and did that. So from as the factory standpoint, I'm here for you. And I'm never going to lie to you or try to tell you something that's not true. We are what we are. The motor graders are simply built, and they're actually design-built for counties and cities. They don't have a lot of frills. They don't have a lot of thrills. The operator comfort is there, but we try to keep the cost down to make it make sense for the guys that are sitting right here.
Do they all come with, like, your the degree of blade
slope
where
control.
It sits?
We do not have that. That is an exception in our bid, but we have an add-on for that. We don't make it standard. We make nothing standard. We want you to be able to put what you want on it instead of making everybody pay for it.
So that price isn't included to...
Nope, it's an exception in the thing. I think it was $18,500 per unit for the automated slope control. That's what was asked for in the bid. We don't have that standard, but I did put a price tag on there. So it is not, because it asked for integrated. We are not integrated. I can put whatever you want on it. I don't like the word integrated because that means everybody has to pay for it. There's a lot of guys that don't want it.
We'll make a note of that because, I mean, just so long as we're comparing apples to apples, we'll just
make sure. Yeah, it's in the exclusions. We put that in there. That's why we priced it out separately, is because it was an exclusion. I felt like it wasn't. Technically, we don't have it.
As long as they add it on, that's, mm-hmm. I assume that's fine. But any other questions for Josh?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your bid. I would ask for a motion to accept all bids and refer them on to Galen and Terry and Becky for review.
I would make a motion to accept bids as presented. And as always, I mean, this thing's gotten complicated a little more. So I don't think a decision can be made today. So although we're down a machine now, but we'll make it work. So hopefully, I mean, and Galen's going to have questions, I'm sure, on a few of these bids. So if we could refer them to Galen and Becky, review them, and come back with a recommendation in 2 weeks.
Is 2 weeks enough time?
It should be.
We have a motion by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Any discussion on that? I would just say if you do run into anything where you need a little bit more time, let us know, and we'll kind of go from there. We're pretty patient, you know that.
Yeah.
No other discussion, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen, we appreciate the bids.
Thank you. So you're saying May 5th in 2 weeks, same time?
Yeah, we'd be May 5th. We wouldn't have a time on it. It wouldn't be a timed event on that one. Probably 9 o'clock, somewhere in that area. You can see how our 9:15 stretched out, though, too. But I would think that 9 o'clock range is usually pretty safe. Thanks, Travis. Thank you. Thanks, Taylor. Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove revising the 1- and 6-year road and bridge plan to add project identification number C341216 to the 6-year plan located north side sections 15, 16, 17, and 18 Blakely Township 4 North, Range 5 East. This would be more commonly known as Hickory West. This is something that I believe Ms. Haxby and Mr. Juergens talked to Galen about. We went over it at the board meeting. or at the committee meetings. We were actually going to have this up for a vote after talking to council, and Lancaster County, we may need a public hearing to change the 1 and 6. Counselor, do you want to go over that?
First of all, I just say this, and I, Galen, I'm not saying he's wrong. Information on this. I did some research, and there's nothing specifically in the statutes requiring another hearing on an amendment to the 1 and 6. Correct. However, the way the statute is written, I kind of piggyback this on some other similar statutes. When you're required to have a public hearing to do the initial approval, I get very concerned with our courts that they're going to say, well, if you required it for the first time, when you go back and adjust it, you didn't let the public know. So I'm erring on the side of caution, and you know, because you don't want to redo it, number one. Number two, we're not, unless there's an emergency situation as far as the pricing, getting that held or locked in, you're basically showing transparency to your public and saying, here's what we're doing. We're giving you a chance. We're adding some miles on this because of good or our cost savings for the public, right?
Not on this one particularly.
Roger, what this was, Emily asked me, Terry, because of the possible expansion of the industrial park out west of the coke plant, because of the possible expansion out there, this road that we've talked about for years, extended on to 103, you know, would be something in our plan then if something ever did locate out there. This was not on the 6-year plan.
Okay.
So all Emily said, Terry, wouldn't that be a good idea to have a plan if something happened, you know, that some industry did locate out there? And I said, yeah, but it might be too late, Emily. And Emily said, I'll go talk to Galen, and that's where it went from there. That's all this was. I mean, okay. It's nothing that we foresee in 2 years we're going to do, but to do something, if something does happen, we have to have it on that 6-year plan. That's what this is about.
And there's no rush, so as Councillor said, the urgency isn't there.
No.
It'll take, Galen got the resolution together. It would, if we do go to public hearing, it won't impede any work. If it takes longer, it'll just take another step.
Well, just basically a refresher on the 1 and 6. Basically, as everybody's aware of, once a year, we are required, the county's required to do a 1 and 6 year plan and also have a public hearing, and then for the board to approve the 1 year, 1 and 6 year plan. Okay, throughout the years on this, we have, if you have an addition to the 1 year plan, say a bridge goes down and you want to put a culvert in it, you get it sized, et cetera, okay, what was required through the Board of Classifications and Standards was, number one, you submitted a revision to the 1 year plan. You gave that plan a number, project number, okay? You submitted an NBCS Form 10, basically you listed what you're going to do. You submitted a copy of the resolution of adoption signed by the board, and also a map showing the location, and this was submitted then to the Board of Classifications and Standards. That was the procedure you had to use. You never did have to have another public hearing to add it on to your original plan. You didn't change your number of your original plan. I mean, this was an addition to it, okay? Well, then this letter was in May 15th of 2019, they actually came back and were no longer required. We're still required, the county is, to do a 1 and 6 year plan and have your public hearing. We're no longer required because LB 82 became law on March 8th of 2019, where basically they say in here it's the first major change that in years to DOT and the county and municipalities, where you will no longer have to submit our 1 and 6 year plan in all the different forms to them. We do annually have to submit an annual certification of the program's compliance form, saying that we did these amount of projects. Okay, so this eliminated basically all the paperwork going into the Board of Public Classifications and Standards on this. So we still do the 1 and 6 like we're doing. Okay, and the only thing that we're submitting to them is this compliance thing. That I think it's has to be in to them now. So, but I guess we've always just added if we had to make a revision, add of, and this was on the most of the revisions that I look back in the file that I had down there for adding a new project. Most of them, I never found nothing on a 6 year plan, but there's a lot of them we've done years through the years for revising to add a 1 year onto the 1 year plan to replace a bridge or a bad culvert or whatever. We followed these old steps. Okay. Well, what I done this one here, the request was that I was asked to do was to put it on the 6 year plan. Okay. So basically, when you look at this adoption, normally when you'd put things on the 6 year plan, normally when you've done all this forms and stuff that you send into the classifications and standards, you would do that at time when you set up your 1 and 6, because the 6 year was not required. An addition to the 6 year was not required to send them a form 10 or anything. I mean, you could add it on to that project on that. So that's what I went by on this public hearing at legally, or well, I shouldn't. I won't go there. We legitimately didn't do it all them years, and we did with the original 1 and 6 year plan.
Well, and again, I didn't understand that you're basically adding another project to the 6 year plan and competing dollars. You know, like maybe another project's going to get bounced out. That was my concern. Why I wanted the public to be able to say, whoa, we still like those miles that you had on there. If you're dropping those to add this one, we'd like to be heard. So
this was just kind of a
completely different
procedure, I guess, to put on. It's with the 1 and 6 year now, with the difference, the changes in the law, it's basically for county planning to show the public, you know, we've got all these projects we're doing or on the plan to be done. And it's and the public hearing was, like I said, originally held and everything. And so by eliminating all this paperwork that had to be done for years and years, submitting all this stuff, it just went to the simple thing the county does. Their simple 1 and 6 year plans, has a public hearing, board approves it. And then annually they submit a certification, that compliance certification. Makes it pretty simple.
When again, technically, you'll have the resolution at the next meeting, so if anybody seeing that doesn't like it, they can come in and comment.
Basically, you know, we're doing like we're doing now. The board read the resolution, and they had discussion on it and approved it, is what was done in the past. Okay. And this six-year plan was just for the county's planning purposes, that this could possibly happen down the road. You know, if it never happens, then you can always remove it. I mean, it's a little bit different than sticking it on the one-year plan. The one-year plan, you're committing yourself, we're going to do this, and here's what's going in there, et cetera, et cetera. This one here basically just says that it's set up for possible culvert replacement, grading, and possible paving. But it's just a planning stage is why it's on the six-year plan. So.
Sure.
Mr. Lytle.
I guess I'm not really going to oppose this, but... one thing that we've done well in the 10 years that we've been on the board is we've cleaned up the 1 and 6 year program, or the 6 year 1 and 6 year plan. One thing that you see a lot of times, and Mark has even discussed this when Mark started doing a lot of the engineering, it was one of the things he even discussed. You don't fill up your 1 and 6 year plan with things that you don't plan to do in 1 and 6 years. So I mean, I personally don't see this being done in 6 years, so I don't really believe it belongs on the 1 and 6 year plan. If you broke it down and said the first mile or whatever in that 6 year that's something that I could see legitimately in the six-year plan. But I'm not going to sit here and be in a stick in the mud and say, no, we're not going to do that. But I don't think it's a great project to put in our six-year plan.
Mr. Lee, would you be willing to come up? There's some potential for, he'll get into some of the potential, but please touch on the potential for grant funding on some of these items too, where there could be some cost share or potential construction costs provided by other entities for something like this.
Sure. So there's really two reasons that we wanted to look at. It was one.
Identify yourself, please.
Trevor Lee, Executive Director of Engage. So if we're working with a local company now, say we're working with Xmark or Landmark, and they say, we're not going to do this project unless this road gets paved, we could have a conversation and say it'll get paved. They'll move forward with their project. New recruitment projects don't work that way. So that's one to say, hey, the county's thought about this. It's in the six-year plan. It's a lot easier to put this six-year project, move it over to the one, than put a brand new project in the one and amend that plan. Grant funding, same thing, to show that the county thought about this, that they have given this thought and have planned to do this project. Department of Labor, the Economic Opportunity Grant Program, would be a contract between the county and the Department of Transportation, and then the contract between the county and Company A to do this paving on the road. So those are the two things that we were looking at, just to show that we're serious about developing the site at some point and can move quickly through that process if you need to move quickly as a developer.
Trevor, if you put in the first mile, I mean, do you have to have all 4 miles in order for that?
Is it 4 miles from 83rd to 100th or 89th to 103rd?
Yes.
4 miles?
That's what it would end up being.
Probably not necessarily. Really, I mean, if we could touch that 260 acres, because that's really just getting to the far southwest corner of that property, but you've got at least a mile east or west to east from there. So if you could get to the point where it shows that here's paved access already to the property, so if we don't pave it, you could still lay out your site in a way that you have paved access. I don't see any problem with that.
Is there potential dollars through anything to help with the paving if we would want to go further? Or
so the program I'm familiar with, so that's the Economic Opportunity Program through DOL. There has to be a live project going on out there, so we've got to have a company coming in. Senator Groney's bill, can't think of the number now. I might have already passed. I don't know if it's been signed yet, but it is relating to rural transportation infrastructure for projects. That one might be allowed to be more speculative. It was put together more geared towards rail because of the rail park in North Platte. So there might be one that would allow it to be speculative, but
what type of funding is there with that bill?
I don't know where they ended up at. Since they're going through the budget amendments now, it's hard to say where it's going to land, but I don't know if it's been touched yet with any amendments.
It doesn't hurt anything to put it in. If you put it in as all 4 miles for now, as we come into next year, we can always relook at it and maybe separate it into two projects. Whatever. I'm not going to be a stick in the mud. Just keep in mind.
No, you make a really good point.
And the reason that I brought it up was just because when he had talked about the potential growth, and it was discussed anyway, if it was on our six-year plan, it might be an easier sell to bring in business.
And we had a very live project at that time for the site. That's why we were looking at it. So.
Did discuss that with the parties involved at that time, that if this was a sticker, we would figure out something.
Do you think it would help if that was on our six-year plan?
Even if it was, like Gary said, we had a portion of it, a couple miles of half of it, because then it would not be hard to come to you guys and say, hey, we've got this project now. We're going to need that other 2 miles for this to work. And, you know, maybe that's a negotiation tool for that company to participate financially in the paving and the remainder if they really need it.
Well, I guess my bigger argument is that if you have it as the 1 mile, the smaller section, we can legitimately look at doing it in 6 years and actually get it done.
And we can amend this motion for that as well. The project at E Energy Adams, I think that's 134th Road, I don't remember for sure. That was a TIFT project, and all that paving from Highway 41 into the plant, that was actually TIFT through the Village Board of Adams. So that was a, I don't know, is, I think that's 2 miles approximately.
Yeah, we can't.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Unless we could do a contiguous annexation from the city of Batchers out there, there's no TIF. And I don't think you guys want that, do you?
No, that would be this wouldn't quite work into that situation unless Hoyg incorporates again.
I would say we don't want to pave too much because one of the landowners, if you pave too much, there won't be any dust, and then they'll want to move out there and not renew our options. So. Slow and steady.
Any amendments or additional discussion on this?
Is this something where we can make the motion today, or is this something we do in 2 weeks?
We can make the motion and vote today and then put the resolution on in 2 weeks, and then it would be final.
The motion to add it to the six-year plan.
As written here, we could make the motion as written or amend that and vote on that today. At our following meeting, we would have no motion yet on this one. At our following meeting, we could vote for the resolution, which would actually put that on the 1 and 6 year. I believe that's right, isn't it, Counselor?
Yeah.
Okay. I say this like I know, but I still need to ask Roger.
And again, you know, how you guys have done it, you know, like the 2 week waiting thing, that's just your own protocol. And yeah, I know we came up with that, I don't know how many years ago. But, you know, in a given situation, you don't have to do that.
But since it's not on the agenda, the resolution, we would want to wait for
the motion. You could do that, or you just wait and do them both next time. I think that's up to the chair as far as if you want to bring it to a vote today, you certainly can.
I'd be fine with the motion here. I mean, if anyone wants to change it, or Emily,
I guess I'd make a motion to approve it as written.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Dorn, to approve revising the 1 and 6 year road bridge plan to add project identification number C341216 to the 6 year plan. Location, north side of sections 15, 16, 17, and 18, Blakely Township 4, North Range 5 East. Any additional discussion? I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. We will follow up in 2 weeks with the resolution for this. And it sounds like in the future we probably don't need to break it up if we don't want to, but at the same time it doesn't hurt in this situation. There's no rush on it. So that motion carries. Up next, discussion on the EMS agreement. You each have a copy of the EMS agreement. There's one of these for each of the entities. This isn't to actually vote on today. This is just.
That was yours. I didn't know you had yours.
Oh, he's got it. What these would be is just a renewal. No dollar changes to anyone. I had how much everyone gets, each of the entities.
Right here, we've done the 3 years, and last year we extended the 1 year.
Okay, so we had a 3 year agreement, we extended it 1 year. I assume if we're going to make changes, we could make an extension, we could make changes, or at this time we could do another 3 year agreement, which would just make the dollar amounts the same for 3 more years. I believe the dollar amounts have been the same since approximately 2012. I guess now would be the time if anyone has any comment or concerns. Otherwise, we'll probably have these redrafted just with new dates and potentially a 3 year additional.
So the amounts are Cortland is $6,000.
Will you read those?
Okay. Cortland is $6,000. Odell, $6,000. Wymore, $40,000. Adams, $18,000. Claytonia, $18,000. Pickerel, $6,000. And then we have Beatrice, which is $180,000. I believe here.
Beatrice is for sure 180. Who did you read after Adams?
Claytonia, 18, and Pickerel, 6. And then, yes.
So, thank you, Galen. If there's any changes anyone would like to make.
I have a question.
Emily?
So, that's the money going to those EMS?
Yes.
And we're paying Beatrice $180. Mm-hmm. I've seen bills come across before for
prisoner transports.
Yeah.
I checked on that. They billed us $5,880, $5,900. Of that, last calendar year, we actually paid the city approximately $2,000 after Medicaid or write-off or whatever that was, because I knew that question would come up. So there's also a question whether we're statutorily required to transport them because they are inmates. But that always comes up. I never knew what the dollar amount is. So actual billed last year was less than $6,000. Actual paid was around $2,000. I'm not saying that's right, wrong, or otherwise, but just so you have that information.
We did not use to pay for those at all, I don't believe. I think that just started, what, Gus, in the last couple of years?
The administrator tells me that it's required by law to have to bill me. So.
But unless there's any changes anyone would like to make, I mean, it probably makes sense for us to do another multi-year agreement.
How has the dollar amounts arrived at?
That I don't know. I think these were put together, if I remember right, I believe it was done in 2012. Sheriff, do you have any knowledge on that? Or Mr. Bauman was involved, I know. And
Myron
and Mr. Bauman. And
Dr. Rice.
Do you figure, like, people given that service for dollars to that? You know what I mean? Like, obviously Beatrice has more people, so that's probably why their dollar amount is higher. But is that how that's figured?
Beatrice receives that, and they do. It's not for the Beatrice proper. I believe the way they view that is we supplement them to do Gage County Rural through Beatrice Fire and Rescue. Service provided. So it goes to Beatrice Fire and Rescue, and it goes.
So there, it's the not for the areas. City, it's for rural
around.
It's for
the
them
city.
To respond to rural Gage.
And even though it's Beatrice, it says Beatrice, whether it's a fire or an emergency in Wymore, Philly, I think Beatrice still is the one that ends up going out to do those things or helping the rurals out in those areas with the EMS. Or if no one's available, this is a 24-hour service versus a volunteer squad, which is trying to balance work and rescue operations. Beatrice is also the regional hazmat area. And I guess that's through the fire probably, but it also kind of integrates with the rescue. So it's not for Beatrice City, it's for outside. That's how they view it.
Is this something where we can take time so I can read up?
We aren't voting on anything today. This is just to bring it to your attention that this will be coming up the end of June. We may have a couple more agreements that come up calendar year, so there's plenty of time. Just wanted to bring it to your attention. This is one of the things we're not statutorily required to do. It's been done because that's the way it's been done. I mean, for lack of a better way to say it, I think.
Yeah, I think it goes back to it was a cost sharing and cost savings.
Because we used to run the ambulance.
Went through. Yeah.
County ran ambulance, and then I'm not sure how that worked. The city ended up taking over ambulance services.
So Wymore isn't volunteer?
Wymore is. But they still require a lot of funding. They still have ambulances, equipment, things like that. This goes not towards wages, but goes towards they've got a rural fire and a rural rescue. This goes to their rural rescue, not rural fire. They're separate in Wymore.
Emergency medical services.
Emergency medical services. I mean, they work together a lot of times. I think they're housed in the same building, but financially they're separate. But yeah, there's nothing that needs to be done. Just bring it to your attention. This is coming up. We'll need an agreement here. I think we're going to need a tourism agreement again as well. But we extended this 1 year last time. If we're not going to make any changes, we may as well make a multi-year arrangement again, just for ease. And
are they asking for any more money?
They did not. They also were not offered any more money.
Well, no, but I mean, if that's something we can bring in the negotiations. We shouldn't be talking about this in open session, but, you know, the issues that Gus faced, because I don't think it's as ironclad as that, but, when they got, Don was good about getting them to use the Medicare or Medicaid payments and get it down to where it's worth arguing about type thing.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's an ongoing, thing.
It can
always
happen at any time. And
But no, they haven't asked for any more. They also know that that's probably not a great thing to ask for more when. But if there's any other thoughts, otherwise we'll get this on the agenda here sometime between now and the end of June.
Here before you know it.
Oh, it will. And that's the thing. Just wanted to bring it to you guys' attention. If there's no other discussion on that, if you guys come up with anything, give me a shout.
I guess the only thing as far as dispatch, the interlocals will take care of all the communication part of it, right? We don't need to include anything in here.
We shouldn't need to, because this is really completely separate yet. I mean, they overlap like a lot of interlocal stuff, but the communications will all be through dispatch. I guess that's something to touch on, Roger. Have you and Tobias made any progress on any of the interlocals between the rural fire rescues?
Yeah, I got a rough draft that I'm honestly, it's not got a front seat right now. But
well, the big agreement's done. You guys have a lot on your plate now.
Well, I'll just get it over to, because most of the stuff involved the insurance. So I think there's two issues that basically we're very concerned about. That's not going to be a problem as far as coverage.
With that, if there's anything else for the good of the order, bad of the order, if not, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
I don't.
Moved by Dorn. Lacking second, we'll stay.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. And